Gordo's story about his trip to New York over the weekend to meet some comedy legends.
Yeah, I missed the show on Friday, and I feel bad about that. But I just had to take this trip because I got invited to a junket that was, first of all, in New York, which usually junkets aren't up there. They're always in Los Angeles. And I love New York. It's one of my favorite towns. But more importantly, the person I was going to interview was Steve Martin, who is a hero to all three of us. Mm-hmm. We love Steve Martin, and I couldn't pass up the opportunity to talk to the great Steve Martin. So I took off on Friday. I flew out right after the show on Thursday up to New York. And because you're flying to New York, you have a much, and I can't fly until after this program, it basically puts me there. I land right at the time that I have to get into a cab and scream towards the movie theater to watch the actual movie. So I'm having to lug a piece of luggage into the theater. You think that went over well with people as I'm trying to get down the aisle with my luggage? So I watched the film on Thursday night. It's called The Big Year, and it stars Steve Martin, Owen Wilson, and Jack Black. They're three different guys in different stages of their lives, and they're all avid birders or bird watchers. So not only am I going to interview Steve Martin the following day, but also Jack Black and Owen Wilson. And those are two pretty huge names, too.
Yep. You bet.
Especially Owen, you know, from Dallas. And
Tickets own.
And so I go to the screening, and then afterwards I check into our hotel, which is the Mandarin Oriental Hotel in Columbus Circle. I don't know if you guys have ever stayed there.
No.
It's so freaking nice. You know, all these junkets, I always put you up in really nice hotels. And I always do this gag to where I book an extra night at my own expense where I can stay in the city. I'm getting the plane ticket, you know, they're paying for that. But I'll just, you know, have an extra night and I can visit friends that live in whatever city they've flown me into. Perhaps I shouldn't have done that with the Mandarin Oriental.
Did you get hit hard?
Oh my gosh, when I got punched in the face with that bill the next day. It's unbelievable. So I check into the hotel. Anyway, this is on Thursday night after I see the film. So I go up, they say, Mr. Keith, your room is whatever, 4932. You're on the 49th floor. Here's your card. So I get into the elevator, and I ride up the elevator towards the 49th floor. The doors open for the 49th floor, and there's a guy standing there ready to get on the elevator who's wearing like this purple fedora, and he has kind of weird facial hair, like this little cheesy mustache and almost like a Johnny Depp-type look to the beard. Mm-hmm. And I say to him, I recognize him, I said, "Oh, hey, John." And John C. Reilly says, "Hey, man, what's up?"
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
How cool.
And I said, "Hey, I hadn't seen Step Brothers. Bad Radio loves it." I actually didn't say that part, but I thought that part. So it's John C. Reilly, and he passes me in the elevator, and I'm like, "Oh, that's kind of weird. Just John C. Reilly's just right there."
Did you tell him I was creeped out by his line in Perfect Storm?
No, but I thought about it.
What line?
This is going to be hard on my boys. Kids. As he's drowning.
Oh, yeah.
God, that one stayed with
me. Why does that always stay with you?
I don't know. It just does.
So I'm still reeling. And I just saw John C. Reilly. And the way I said hey to him, I just said it like, you know, "Oh, hey, John." And these junket hotels are weird because they're just kind of teeming with celebrities and important people. But I could tell by the way he said it back to me, enthusiastic, he kept trying to place me.
Because the way you said it to him.
Yeah, because
thought,
I was weirdly overly casual, so he was like, you know, "Oh, hey, man, yeah, good to see you again." Kind of that kind of feel to it.
Right.
Well, I think he's greatness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking down from the elevator down this little short hallway towards my room.
By the way, how tall was John C. Reilly?
He seemed taller than me, but I don't know whether that was the hat.
Okay.
Yeah,
he
seems
was wearing
tall.
This weird purple fedora. And so I'm walking down towards my room, which is at the almost the very end of the hall. It's the next to last door. And exiting the door at the conclusion of the hallway, the door opens and this guy walks out towards me. Now, his room is right next to mine. And I do my trick again. I've now learned a trick from John C. Reilly. And I say, "Oh, hey, Jack." And, "Hey, man, what's going on?" It's Jack Black.
Right,
and the trick worked
door?
On him. Right next door to him. So I spent the weekend masturbating next door to Jack Black, who was masturbating in the room next to me.
Oh, my gosh. Why would you say something like that?
Just to shock you.
Because it's true.
Golly.
There's no truth to that, sir. I have no evidence that Jack was doing that. Yeah, he was in the room right next to me.
So did you have an awkward kind of exchange of, so what's been going on?
No, okay. But he did do the, hey man, he may have said, hey man, what's going on, or something like that. Oh, nothing. And I just went into my room. But I could see it once again. I was so overly casual, I must know him somewhere. So he was right next to me the whole weekend, which was very strange because the whole time I'm in my room, I hear, you know, room service going into his, and he was very nice to the hotel staff. And I'm assuming John C. Reilly was coming out of his room. Now, that night, Thursday night, I go to the little reception they have for the press, and I was talking to one of the girls from the Fox studio. I said, yeah, I ran into John C. Reilly up by my room. And she said, oh, yeah, it was Fox has a private plane. And, you know, so I guess Steve Martin and Jack Black and all them flew out here from L.A., on the private Fox plane, and, you know, John C. Reilly hitched a ride. He wanted to come to New York, and I guess maybe he was hanging with Jack Black, so he just got on the charter with them and was staying with them. For all I know, he may have been staying in Jack Black's room.
Wow.
But I never saw him again. So, next morning, I wake up. It's time for the junk interviews. I'm nervous, man, because this is Steve Martin. And it's not only Steve Martin, but I'm having to interview all three of them at the same time. So it's very hard to get much in on that, you know, and guide the interview whatsoever, because you got three guys. It's 3-on-1, which is the ratio preferred by Charlie Sheen and half the NBA. So I head downstairs for the junket interview, and the interviews are going to be on floor 30-something, 35. I press the button. I start going down the elevator. The elevator stops before floor 35, and on walks another guy. And he stands right in front of me. Me and this other guy in the elevator. And I say, I try my trick again. I just said, hey, this time. I didn't use his name. Like I said, hey. He goes, hey, how's it going? And I'm sitting there staring at the blonde tousled hair of Owen Wilson.
Wow.
So we ride down the elevator together. And I don't really make small talk because I know he's not going to want that.
He knows who you are.
It's just too awkward.
He was, hey, Gordo, yeah, how's it going?
Yeah, that would have broken the ice for the interview.
Right. Yeah, I know, but I didn't want to whip him. I just didn't want to whip him. So, I'm preparing, getting ready to go to the interview. I have to go to the makeup chair, and the woman's putting the makeup on you, and then I say, you know, hey, do you have any of the hairspray? Because my hair's getting kind of long and shaggy, and I don't want it in my face. So she loans me it, and there's no mirror around there. So I say, well, that's okay. There's a mirror down here in the lobby. So I start heading to the bathroom down there in the lobby. Run into Jack Black again, and he's still trying to place me. He says, hey!
Now what's going on?
Yeah, now what's happening? And so I go into this big lobby bathroom, and it's just so well appointed because it's this fancy hotel, and it's this huge bathroom that has kind of two wings to it, and the mirrors are in the center of the bathroom.
Jack Black was doing a bombing run down there?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, the guy's big enough to destroy any sort of colder you put up under him. So I'm in front of the mirror, and I'm spraying this hairspray that's just overpowering smell of this hairspray. I don't know what this makeup woman had in this stuff. So I'm spraying and everything, and I'm thinking I'm in this whole restroom alone. Well, I hear this voice coming from my right, and he says something very strange to me. He says, I think Ken's cut is $30,000, maybe $40,000. I'm not sure. I didn't get all the details. And I recognize the voice, but yet there's no one else in this bathroom. And I look over, and there's Steve Martin standing in front of a urinal at the very end.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wearing his Buddy Holly horn-rimmed glasses and kind of shaking the last drops out. And he makes this comment, and I'm like, do I respond to this? Am I supposed to say something?
Is he toothing?
Well, no, he didn't. I looked in his ear, and he didn't have anything, because I don't know who he's talking to, what he's talking about.
He thought
Ken's
Jack Black,
getting $30,000.
He thought Jack was still in there with him, maybe?
I guess.
And so who's this Ken guy, and what kind of cut is he?
I don't know.
Sounds like a pretty good cut.
So just as I'm about to start speaking and say, I don't know really what to say to that, I hear a voice from the other wing, the far side of the bathroom, to my left. I hear, wow, that's really amazing. I can't believe that. And I'm trapped in this bathroom with just two other people in the world, and one's Steve Martin and the other one's Owen Wilson.
Wow.
See, if you had introduced yourself to Owen, then he would have introduced you to Steve, another a double icebreaker.
I know, but I just had to be quiet.
And he would have told you about Ken and...
Yeah, you would have found out what that percentage was all about.
Well, I think I started to figure out when they kept talking a little bit more as they gathered near the... Then there, we're all three washing our hands at the three different sinks in there. And Steve says to Owen, you know, I kind of thought it was a little high, you know, but I guess it's not as much as a Churchill. And then I think, okay, they're talking paintings is what they must be talking about. Or, I don't know, letters or signed first edition. I don't know. But it's obviously above my pay grade, whatever it is.
You couldn't crack the code.
No, couldn't crack the code. And I just kind of quietly washed my hands and everything. Well, I had set my little makeup kit on top of the towels, the hand towels. I wasn't thinking
SG.
When I first walked in there. Yeah, it is SG. And so Owen goes for a hand towel to wash his hands, and he's looking down. There's this makeup bag, and he kind of looks over at me, and I'm like, oh I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then I awkwardly hand him a towel. That was a real kind of gay moment.
So you work here. Huh?
So you work here as well as wear makeup. That's odd.
Did he give you a tip?
No, he didn't tip me. So then it comes time for the interview.
Well, see you later.
And I go in there to the room, and they're all three sitting there, and I sit down in my chair, and it's...
Awkward.
It is awkward. And
you did that?
No. Jack Black sticks out his hand, shakes my hand. Owen Wilson sticks out his hand, shakes my hand. And Steve Martin kind of looks at my hand and goes, I just kind of had some hand surgery, you know, banjo playing.
Did he really?
Steve Martin refused to shake my hand.
He said that?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Did he really have surgery?
I guess so.
Or is he a germaphobe?
Is that a joke?
No.
You didn't think he washed your hands enough in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Yeah, he saw you. You didn't wash.
No, I think that it was real because I heard the PR woman tell another guy after my interview, hey, listen, when you go in there, don't attempt to shake Steve Martin's hand because he just had hand surgery.
Oh, wow.
I don't know whether it was a cover story or what.
All right.
So we do the interview. It's eventually going to air on Channel 8, and we're going to play it here on the air, too, when we get it done. The interview went... Okay.
Funny jokes?
I don't know. It was such a blur. I always come out of those things feeling like I need to go to a therapist and do some recovered memory stuff because I have no idea what just happened in there.
Post-traumatic interview
yes,
syndrome?
Yes, I always have post-traumatic interview syndrome.
Did they seem to enjoy the interview or were they put off by you?
They did seem to enjoy the interview, and there was one point I was worried that I pissed off Jack Black because I asked Steve Martin this question. I said to Steve something along the lines of, Steve, this is such a big honor for me because I've followed your career, obviously, over the decades. I have all your books. I've even collected your albums and caught a few bluegrass concerts. And I've always wanted to ask you, what was it like to work with Jack Black?
What did he say?
And Jack, Jack's sitting in the middle, and I just see him kind of... trying to figure out whether he's going to get pissed and insulted by this, and then this big smile just spreads across his face, and he bows his head down laughing.
That's funny.
So you cracked up Jack Black, too?
Yeah.
Did Steve like that question?
Well, that's the thing. I figured that would be right up Steve's alley, and Steve kind of just a little faint smile, and then he answers, yeah, Jack's great, you know.
God.
Damn. I was like, damn it! I want to make Steve Martin laugh.
Did you get to talk to them afterwards, or... Pictures or anything?
I did. As a matter of fact, we get towards the end of the interview, and they're giving me the wrap-up sign. And I say, well, we're getting we're out of time here, so we didn't get a chance to play. We had a choice. I said, I could have given you a choice of physics questions or how well do you know your co-stars? And Steve says, oh, come on, give him another minute. Let's give him another minute. So Steve extended our interview.
Good.
And they chose physics questions at first. And so then I had to panic and, what is some you know lessons? And then they go, let's play How Well Do You Know Your Co-Star? It was funny. I think it's going to be good. It's going to air on Good Morning Texas, I think sometime this week, perhaps. I'll get the date for you and we'll, air it here on The Ticket. But all in all, it was an amazing experience sitting in the room with Steve Martin, Jack Black, and Owen Wilson. And Owen, when we started the interview... I could tell he was trying to figure out something, so he may have
You're with the
Because
ticket.
He has a lot of friends that listen to the ticket, so he's heard of all of us. You know,
you never told him, even during the interview or after?
No, they said at the beginning, this is Gordon Keith from Dallas, and he goes, Dallas, huh? And I said, yeah. He goes, I was just in Dallas like 3 days ago. And
I didn't see you.
And I think I said, well, that sounds like a good story.
Smart ass.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's an abbreviated version. And at some point, I need to tell you about the steakhouse that I ate in and the infamous nature of that steakhouse that I didn't find out about until I'd already was sitting in there.
Okay. Murder occur there.
And a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff went on.
Yeah. Okay. Would you like to tell that story today in the corner? Or?
I perhaps will share that with you today in the corner.
That would be at
9:15.
Write that down. Not that far to us by Dallas Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Thanks, Miller Man. Still talking about the trip I took to New York over the weekend when I went up there to interview Steve Martin and Owen Wilson and Jack Black. And I debuted my new method of the overly casual greeting, and it's already receiving rave reviews. John tweets, thanks, Gordon, for the genius idea of the overly casual celebrity greeting. Can't wait to try it out and watch them try to place me. Yeah, that's the idea with the overly casual celebrity greeting. You got to almost barely even pay attention to them. I mean, like, so you don't really look at them for a long period of time. You act like you're just passing your coworker in the hall. You know, you just say, hey, what's up, Steve? And you just kind of hardly even glance in their direction. And that's the thing that draws them in and makes them think that they may know you.
That casually.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be. Yeah, it's got to. Oh, hey, Jack. It's more almost in the way in your body language than it is as much as what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're seeing them for maybe the 30th straight day.
Yeah, right. It's got to be no big deal. And that's the overly casual celebrity greeting that will have them thinking about you long after you leave.
What if you just walk past them and say, you again, and keep going? Would that work?
I think that would work.
You don't even use their name.
Yeah, just look at them again, and then keep walking. Okay, we're trying to figure out what Steve Martin and Owen were talking about in the bathroom with me, and they said something about a church hill. There's several different theories on this coming from the P1s. Steve Martin said something along the lines of, Ken's cut of it was $30,000. And then said something along the lines of $300,000, that's more than a Churchill or something like that. Something about a Churchill. And I thought he was talking about the paintings of Winston Churchill, many of which are housed right here in the Dallas Museum of Art in the Wendy Reeves collection.
Really?
By the way. Yeah. Well, one P1 says, well, a Churchill is a cigar. Maybe they're ordering 30,000 cigars. And I don't know about that. Another P1 says, I know what Steve Martin was talking about. As a horse player, I'm guessing that a mutual friend of theirs cashed a big bet at the horse races. And so he was talking about getting some at Churchill Downs. Is it horse racing season still? I don't know. Maybe it could have been a past
story. Derby was in May.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's more than a Churchill.
Yeah. I swear that's what he said. I don't know. You know, Steve's a big art guy. And then Michael tweets, Gordon, great segment on your New York City trip. It's been amazing watching your career grow, but I've always wanted to ask you, what's it like working with TC? Okay.
A question the Metroplex wants to know about.
That's a giggle. Funny. So after all the interviews were over and I had the extra day in New York to kind of kick around and spend way too much money. Man, that is an expensive city.
Oh, yeah.
I told you guys for the convenience, off air, I told you this. For the convenience of just eating breakfast in my hotel, you gonna guess how much that was? Ty, you wanna guess?
$47.
Ooh.
Very close. $53. I didn't make that mistake again.
Breakfast.
It was damn good. But when the bill came and you're sitting in this fancy place, you've got to pretend like you haven't not just been knocked into next week.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of smile and, sign it. Try to fudge the room number a little bit, you know.
Well, thank you. Oh, very reasonable.
I almost put on Jack. Since I knew Jack Black's room number, I should have named Jack Black and then his room on there.
But the movie company pays for that, right?
And they do on days where I'm staying there under their auspices.
Oh, okay.
When I'm on my own.
When you're freestyling.
Yeah, when I'm freestyling, they don't quite cover that.
Okay.
It's a big mistake for me. But just in general, New York is very expensive. I mean, even if you just go into a casual place, I think I saw today that the average meal, restaurant meal in New York for one person is $46.
Off.
That's the average.
How do people live in the city?
I don't know. But everyone, as I'm walking through the city, everyone looks like they're important.
Yeah.
They're either, they look like a writer or a dancer or some kind of distinguished lecturer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone, or they're the old rich woman. Everyone looked like they were doing much better than me. I don't know how they live up there. But, so it's the night after I did the interviews, and I'm always kind of restless, you know, because you've done what you've gone there to do, and you have a lot of nervous energy. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go out, and I want a steak dinner. That's what I want. I want a steak dinner. So I Yelp it and find a steakhouse, and I go to the steakhouse. And as I'm walking in, I'm thinking, the outside of this steakhouse looks very familiar to me, and I can't quite place it. Where have I seen this before? I know I've seen this awning sticking out here, and I think it's an episode of The Sopranos. So I get seated at the steakhouse and dinner for one because the companionship that I had scheduled for the evening didn't show up.
Your credit card was declined.
Right. I'd already maxed really it out on that breakfast.
Well, I'm good for it.
And I sit down and I go, so I start searching this steakhouse in association with The Sopranos because I think maybe I've seen it on that. The exterior shot of the steakhouse on The Sopranos. But no, it didn't come up Sopranos. It did come up Mafia.
Uh-oh.
And then I realized, oh my goodness, this is the Sparks Steakhouse that Paul Castellano was killed in front of by John Gotti.
Wow.
The pictures I've seen many
times. Yeah, he went there
times.
By accident.
Yeah. I swear it was by accident.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just like Robert Blake's place. Yeah.
So this is what it was on December 16th. Paul Castellano, with his newly named, I guess, underboss, was killed right outside Sparks Steakhouse by John Gotti. And they were lured there to that steakhouse to have a meeting, supposedly have a meeting with John Gotti to iron out their differences.
With baked potatoes.
Because they had a problem with Castellano. Castellano didn't go to a funeral a couple weeks before that he should have gone to out of respect. And, and he was disbanding Gotti's crew. And so Gotti made the move on him right out in front of this steakhouse. And you can see the pictures out in front of Sparks Steakhouse of Castellano's body laying next to a Lincoln Stretch.
You mean you can see them online, not displayed at the restaurant?
No, no. The restaurant, they didn't emphasize that too much at the restaurant. But I spent the whole meal just reading about the Mafia, hoping no one would overlook my iPhone. And
you reading about the Mafia here? What interests you so much about the Mafia? Would you like to learn more about the Mafia right now?
Like broad daylight, he gunned him down, or was it at night?
It was in the evening.
Still, though, just right
but
there.
But shot both of them right there. And Gotti was waiting across it, watching it from across the street.
Wow.
As they both got mowed down.
Wow. Yeah, I'm checking out some of these pictures. They are, they're disturbing.
Whoa.
Dick Van Dyke on the phone even says, whoa. Why are we so obsessed with the Mafia?
I don't know. Because we're so scared by the Mafia.
Okay, but there's Chinese gangs, but we're not obsessed with them. What is it about the Italian Mafia that has us so worked up?
It's the whole Godfather movie series. It's got to be.
Yeah, but the Godfather movies were made for a reason. They didn't make them about Vietnamese gangs, Vietnamese Mafia, or Russian Mafia.
And I know I'm in the vast minority. I am not in the gangster stuff. I'm really not.
But you watch Sopranos.
It took me a while to get into it, because I was like, what's the big deal about it? And I finally got into it.
Did you watch Goodfellas?
Haven't seen that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Barely.
You've never seen Goodfellas.
We've been through this before. I've only seen The Godfather once and fell asleep about three-fourths of the way through.
You're correct in that Godfather's overrated.
No,
I know
not.
We're not allowed
it's
to
not.
Say
no,
it,
not.
But
no,
it's overrated.
Not. I need to go try it again, I guess, but I'm just not a big
The best Godfather was Godfather 3. People aren't allowed to say
that. Oh, my God. It's not even in the discussion.
But I'm telling you, I don't think Godfather's as good as Goodfellas. I think Goodfellas is better.
Goodfellas is great.
I need to try that. George, I'm just not a big mob guy.
Dude, you have to watch Goodfellas.
Okay.
It is the most tense movie. It's so tense. a couple of the tent scenes. Number one is the, what do you mean, I'm funny? The famous Joe Pesci. Have you seen that scene, at least? Yeah.
God, it's so tense.
What do you mean? Like, what about me is funny? You know, the way you tell the joke, it's yeah, what do you mean? Funny like a muse, like I'm a clown?
It's just not going to end well.
No, I mean, you know, you just, the way you tell the, it's so tense. And then also, remember that when, wasn't Robert De Niro sending Ray Liotta down to go pick out your wife a dress? Just go on down there. Just go on down the rack of clothes and down. No, just keep going. Keep going. And he was so nervous looking back. Was that his wife he was doing that to? Ray Liotta's wife, or was it Ray Liotta?
I think it was Ray Liotta.
I think you're right.
I can't remember. Whatever it was very tense.
Now go home and get your freaking shine box.
Oh yeah, that was really tense too. That was, he said that to Joe Pesci, that line right there. Joe Pesci made you nervous throughout that whole movie.
Godfather and Goodfellas and Sopranos, they make you so nervous because most of those characters have such a quick, short fuse.
Yes.
You know, they can just turn at any moment.
And how you're friends with them, and then all of a sudden they're going to kill you next.
Yeah, you can
say so insecure.
One wrong thing, or just look at them the wrong way, and they want to kill you.
Oh my God.
And they will.
Gordon Keith.
Now, George, you say you don't even think the mafia really exists anymore,
no,
right?
No, I didn't say that. You are the one who tempts fate with the mafia, not me.
I do not.
You're the one that said, what did you say, you're untouchable? Was that
it? No,
okay.
Wasn't it the Untouchables that had the Robert De Niro bat scene?
That was...
I did see that.
Really, really tense.
So anyway, I was at the death side of Paul Castellano.
So... add Paul another one to your long list.
That was an unintentional.
Gianni Versace's death site that you took us to.
No.
Robert Blake.
Okay, I shouldn't be credited for that one either.
Bonnie Lee Baker.
John Kennedy.
Dear P1, let me explain all of these
Oswald.
To you.
You're
being besmirched on national local radio.
You're obsessed with going to these sites of famous murders.
No. The John, what's his name? Robert Blake one. That happened to be the closest Italian restaurant, and we stopped there.
Italian restaurant.
No, you went specifically there, and you went back and looked at the dumpster, Vaquero's restaurant.
I did look at the dumpster.
The dumpster
that
where she was killed.
I don't think it was Vaquero's. That was an early advertiser on the ticket.
What was it?
It's something like that. There was blood everywhere, and then the.
You took us on the Versace one.
The Versace, we were walking down South Beach, and I said, hey, this is the Versace mansion.
No, we had to
where
go
Versace
out,
was, he
off
was
the beaten
no,
path.
No, it was not off the beaten path.
So
it was
here,
right
guys.
There.
And right over there on that pier, that's where it happened.
Hey, we're getting closer, guys. You can probably feel the power, can't you?
Yeah.
That was not the case.
Lee Harvey Oswald, Trail of Tears.
Okay, that's a deliberate one that I've gone on, because that's part of our important national history that must be observed by me.
Sparks.
Every other Wednesday.
Sparks Steakhouse.
Spark Steakhouse was an accident.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
an accident.
It was.
It just happened to
someone
show up
with
there.
Your history accidentally.
There's no history. I just argued and told you there's no
Spark
history.
Spark Steakhouse.
My only one is the Lee Harvey Trail of Tears.
By the way, it was Vitello's. No, Vitello's counts.
Yes,
Vitello's does not count.
Definitely counts.
You went out of your way, and
no,
Versace,
it was the
we
closest Italian restaurant.
And there are more that we're not thinking of right now that I'm sure the P1s will remind us of.
Oh well, that's good evidence you have there. There's more than that. Speaking of, Your Honor, we'd like to enter that in, too.
You had to see LBJ's grave when we went down there.
Ford's the
Reagan's grave.
It was Reagan's his idea.
Grave. Dead President Reagan.
those are all your ideas.
By the way, have you checked out the menu at Sparks? No prices on it. I'd love to know. I'd love to know the bill total there.
If you need to ask, you don't need to be
That's
there.
For correct. One person?
Yeah.
Would you really like to know?
About 150.
Sure. 100 buck? 200?
You're forgetting the bottle of wine.
Oh dear.
300?
No, it wasn't that high.
Never good without prices on
it. Wasn't 300.
175.
250. 299.
You can't go $1 under. No, it wasn't as high as 299 either.
238.
238.35. Dang it. Let's just go to break. We're done. It was a good segment.
You are the 1%
being here with you guys.
Boy.
Like to see that guy.
All right, Gordo.
I went in the hole, all right? I was celebrating and talking with Steve Martin. I went a little crazy, and you know what? I'm going to pay for it.
You were celebrating another murder site crossed off your list. That's what you were celebrating.
You think I pulled out a big, long scroll and then just marked through Sparks Steakhouse?
That's why you accepted the Steve Martin junket.
To get closer to the Sparks.
Yeah, some new ballparks, you do murder sites, all right? Cross that one off.
All right, that's Gordo's Corner.